Welcome. You are listening to the eXtension Military Families Learning Network's Personal Finance Podcast. Thank you for taking a money moment out of your day to listen and learn as we share tips to help navigate everyday financial life. Your host today is Dr. Jennifer Hunter, an Associate Extension Professor for Family Finance and Resource Management at the University of Kentucky.
Hello, and welcome to podcast episode number 4, Family Communications About Money. Most couples can talk about anything. Well, anything except money, that is. Maybe you don't know much about financial management, so you want your husband or wife to handle all the bills. Or maybe your parents never talked about money, so you do not know how to approach the subject. Whatever the reason, many couples avoid talking about finances until life presents them with a job loss, a medical emergency, or an unexpected bill. To have a strong, healthy marriage, positive communication is essential. If a couple can communicate openly about money, chances are they can communicate about anything. We also know that most of what our kiddos learn about finances, they learn at home. So as our children grow up, the decisions and how they think and feel about money, most of those behaviors are learned in childhood. So it's important to have open communication with our children about the financial decisions that we are making at home. As a couple, tips to keep in mind include: lay everything out on the table. How much income does each spouse earn? What are your monthly bills? What do you pay for rent or your mortgage payment, groceries, gas, insurance, and utilities? When is each bill due? Whose name is on each bill? Secondly, discuss pooling your resources. Do you have separate or joint banking accounts? As a couple, discuss the pros and cons each and decide what is the best option for you and your family. Finally, how will you work fun money into your budget? Money for entertainment, clothing, dining, and dates. Do you have individual spending allotments? While it's important to work towards financial unity, it is also important to allow yourselves a reasonable amount of money to each spend at your discretion. This is a tip that my husband and I learned very early on in our marriage. So each month, we both have our fun money, and we can spend our fun money on anything that we want. The only thing responsible that has to come out of our fun money allotment is if we choose to eat lunch out at work. As we've discussed in previous episodes, eating food away from home can be very expensive. So in our household, we view eating lunch out as a luxury, so therefore it comes out of our fun money. Other couples may have built eating lunch at work into their weekly or monthly budget, so therefore it would not be considered a fun money expense. Fun money is meant to be that, fun. And so couples should have a conversation about what the expectations are for their fun money. Couples should also be very realistic about how much they have available in their monthly budget to contribute to the fun money line item expense. Talking about money in your relationship can sometimes seem intimidating, especially at first. But remember that your relationship is ultimately a partnership. And in order to maximize your potential as a couple and to reap the greater rewards, you have to work together. Talking openly about your financial expectations, your financial plans for your future, and ways to handle potential setbacks. Healthy communication is important for healthy marriages. Communications about money should not be limited to an adult conversation in our households. Including your children in age-appropriate discussions about family finances is a great first step to help them learn the value of money and how to spend it wisely. If parents never talk with their kiddos about money, they are not providing their children with opportunities to practice hands-on financial experiences that will benefit them when they are young adults. As with many things, children learn about money by watching their parents. They also learn by practicing money management. Children who take part in regular discussions about their family's financial management learn how to make financial decisions on their own. In our household, we spend a considerable amount of time talking with our kiddos about finances. As we've discussed previously, we provide them with budgeting opportunities when we go on family vacations. We discuss how they might budget their allowance to save towards a big purchase. And we also talk about expectations, such as when we're doing back-to-school shopping. so how much we might have to spend on clothes or shoes or backpacks, so that they are well prepared and well informed in making decisions about how that money is spent. Our kiddos definitely influence our family spending choices. The wants and needs of our children are always part of our family budget. Children, and especially teenagers, can at times be unrealistic about the family's financial situation. Typically, they either over or underestimate the family's income and expenses. It's important that parents help paint a realistic picture of the family's financial circumstances for their children. There are several ways to help make discussions about money seem more routine and comfortable. Be honest about your money situation. If you cannot afford something, let your kiddos know that. Use your own judgment, though, about how much you disclose. We certainly do not want to stress them out about the family's financial situation. But it is very understandable to explain why we cannot afford a certain toy or vacation or gaming unit or whatever it may be that they are currently asking for. Be realistic with your children about expectations. If we do not have an excessive amount of disposable income, share that with them. Help them understand that there are certain bills that have to be paid every month and that those bills go towards necessities or needs, and everything else is considered an extra or a want. And some months we may have extra money to go towards those wants, and some months we may not. Understand that conflict may arise during these conversations, and it's not something that you should avoid or ignore, but we should focus on how we can make the conversations more comfortable and learn to manage the conflict by respecting each family's member differences and recognizing to our children that we understand that they're sad that they may not be able to get that item, but help them develop a plan for how they might be able to achieve that item in the future. Try to be flexible. If possible, work through a decision that is agreeable to all. State your wants, needs, feelings, and thoughts, and allow family members to do the same. As we're openly communicating with our family members about money, this is also a great time to teach our children about how to budget. Do your children earn an allowance? If so, consider allowing them to open a checking or a savings account. Teach them to make deposits, and then also how to balance their checkbook. In the age of debit and credit cards, as well as ATMs, many youth never learn how to balance an account register. Also, encourage depositing a set amount each month or each week into their savings. Teach your children how to track where their money is going. Show your children how to budget their allowance, but do not expect them to be perfect at first. If they blow it, resist the urge to fork over more cash. Let them learn from their mistakes. Eventually, their budgeting skills will improve. Just remember, it might take time, but much better to learn now as a kiddo as opposed to learning as an adult. As long as you are providing for your child's emotional and physical needs, it will not hurt them to learn the hard way when it comes to their wants. For example, if your teenager has his or her eye set on some expensive gadget or gizmo, unless it's a birthday or holiday, let them earn it. Work out a payment plan to earn the money for their purchase. A cool phone or a game? Create a list of chores on how much you are willing to pay for each task. For example, offer $1 for taking out the trash, $2 for emptying the dishwasher, $10 for mowing the yard. Rewards are always more meaningful when they are earned and not just given. Teach your children to set smart financial goals. When our son was little, he really wanted a new gaming system. And the gaming system was very expensive. It was a little bit over $200, which seemed excessive to us for probably what was a 5 or 6 year old at the time. So we created a deal with him that if he really wanted the gaming system, that he could earn it over time. It took him 2.5 years to save his $250, but eventually he did it. He bought his gaming system, he paid for it in $1 and $5 bills, and I think the purchase was much more meaningful to him as opposed to if we had just given it to him as a birthday or a holiday gift. Setting goals with clear objectives gives our children something to work towards. Challenge your kids to be smart with their money. Help them out when you can by encouraging their efforts and offering advice along the way. Family communication about money can help make our children much better money managers in the future. I hope you enjoyed today's episode, and be certain to listen back for our next podcast where we discuss yard sales, being a bargain hunter, and a savvy seller.
striving to help military families balance both life and their checkbook. Thank you for listening to the eXtension Military Families Learning Network's Personal Finance Podcast. If you enjoyed today's podcast, have a question, or show topic idea, leave a like and comment on Facebook at MFLN Personal Finance. You can learn more about the eXtension Military Families Learning Network at militaryfamilies.extension.org.